worshipped. I want to be loved.
I've told you a million times not to talk to me when I'm doing my lashes.
Oh, it's you. I didn't know you with all your clothes on.
You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view.
What am I going to tell you? You look like a woman.
Well, girls, looks like it's back to the perfume counter for me. And by the way, there's a name for you ladies, but it isn't used in high society, outside of a kennel.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Goldwyn Girls podcast with your hosts, Meredith and Amelia. We have a special episode this week because we have a guest, Lauren, who does her own Hollywood Party podcast, and we'll be talking about that later. And so grab a drink, your blunt, your line of Coke, whatever you do, and we will get started. I'm just going to do some housekeeping things real quick. Before we get to Lauren and her podcast, Warner Archive is releasing three titles, which are classic Hollywood titles. Girl Crazy from 1943, the Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland film. Mickey Rooney's like our patron saint. I don't even know. We have so many. The running gag is that, you know, maybe I am in love with Mickey Rooney. I don't know.
You are, definitely.
Ouch. I don't like that. Someone write a fan fiction. Whoever's listening of us, me and Mickey, make it X-rated. Okay. Million Dollar Mermaid, the Esther Williams film from 1952, and then Without Love, the Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy film from 1945. There's a great event. It's kind of an event, but it's like a series. Movie Madness, which is a video store that is in my city that I came from, Portland, Oregon. They do online classes that you can just, it's like $10 per class, and they do special events, like they have a virtual seminar and then a discussion with a lecturer, and they're doing a special lecture this week, July 9th, so that's Thursday night at 7:30. They're going to have Sean Levy speaking. He's going to do a class on A Hard Day's Night from 1964, The Beatles Vehicle, and he is a author. He does some biographies on various pop culture icons. I really want to go because he is the author of Rat Pack Confidential, and which is like a smarmy, slutty book about the Rat Pack. And he's not going to be talking about that, but I'm maybe I can ask him a question about it and then have him like ban me from the webinar. And if you can't afford the price for the lecture, you can write a waiver, and Movie Madness can waive the quote-unquote tuition for you because they want to make it accessible. It's a nonprofit. It's one of the only video stores really left in the country, so I recommend people support it. And by supporting it, I mean attending their webinars and their classes. And I will be sharing all these links to all these events on our social media. The next one is Cartoon Carnival, which is a monthly series. A man runs it. It's basically where he does a curated show of cartoons from the 1910s to the 1950s, and it's all on 16 millimeter, and it's all from film prints that are in his apartment, which I think is really, really cool. I think he usually like gets prints from somewhere else, but since there's a pandemic, he has to rely on the whatever he has available at his apartment. That's once a month. I don't have the dates on that, but I'll share the website on social media and you can be on their listserv so you can keep in touch with what they're going to be doing. Then there's the Silent Comedy Watch Party, which Ben Modal, he is a silent film accompanist. I can't even say words. He does a live stream on YouTube every Sunday of silent film comedy. I think it's a curated. I think he does like a short and then a feature. It's really fun. You get to talk to people while you watch it, and all of his episodes that he's done previously, I think he's on like episode 16 or so, are up on YouTube to watch. And there's also a podcast I'd like to give a shout out to that's really, really great. It's called Just the Discs podcast. It is all about Blu-rays. A guy named Brian does it. He's super amazing. I've never really heard a podcast like that where it's really about like the material that's on the disc, you know, like special features and booklets that comes with it, and just any feature that comes with the film on the Blu-ray or the DVD. I think on the podcast, he mostly does Blu-rays. And for someone like me who deals with discs all the time, but never really has the time to like kind of take a look at them and their features and their booklets and stuff, this is a really informative podcast. So I would really recommend that you listen to it. And that's a good segue into our guest, Lauren. She does a really great podcast called Hollywood Party. And it's really, really great. I would really recommend it. And Lauren, I just wanted to basically have you talk about your podcast and like how you came about doing it. I know you told us a little bit about that before we recorded. And just, yeah, talk about what you do.
You got it. Hello. So my podcast is Hollywood Party, and it's very lighthearted. It's not a super serious podcast, even though we're talking about people's lives. So the whole premise is we're going to look at one person from old Hollywood a week and then figure out if we want to party with them or not. It's pretty easy. We do talk about serious things like, you know, cheating, drugs, drunk driving, suicide attempts, but still, the bottom line is, are they cool enough to like hang out with for an evening? I came to find my way into podcastdom because there was another podcast who was doing a competition, and it was very hard for me to write like that particular podcast host. So I said, F it, I'm going to do it myself. And that's how this happened.
I love your podcast so much. Meredith and I were talking about this kind of like before we recorded, and we kind of told you this before, but it's really one of the most digestible classic film podcasts out there because it really doesn't feel like a lecture. You know, sometimes it's nice to not be so academic with film.
Right.
And you just like are funny. It rolls right through. And just like the topics and the research. I mean, I learned so many things from your podcast that I never knew. And it wasn't in a way where I felt like you were like lecturing me about things. I felt like I was just having a conversation with you,
but yeah, I want it to be like drunk history kind of, you know, like this is a cool story. I'm going to tell you about it like in a modern-ish way. Mm-hmm. I'm not drunk when I'm doing it, unfortunately, totally sober. But
next episode you can.
Oh my God, girl, it would be just and way more dudes than I already say. Because like the amount of dudes is insane. It doesn't need to be a lecture. It's fun. History is fun. And it doesn't need to be like pristine and like, don't talk about them. They never did anything bad. Yeah, they all did. All of them. And it's great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that you read these people for filth.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're just human beings. That's the cool like thing is if you just look at people like that instead of, you know, I think like a lot of us have, you know, I'm guilty of sort of looking at people starry eyed and, you know, thinking like, oh, this is like they're iconic and they're heroic and everything. But yeah, like that's really cool that you go and look at them just as human beings who are, you know, we're all flawed. And like you said, like we all do crazy shit sometimes. Yeah. So that's really cool.
Like you can still love them. Like I will use my lover. Clark Gable. He was an awful husband. Awful. And reading more and more about him, like he's done some crazy shit that I personally would not want to deal with in real life. But I can still project my romantic fantasies on him. And that's fine. He's dead. It doesn't matter. Like he could still be like my dream lover. It's not going to affect that. Like I just know this is how he was in real life and this is how he is in my brain. They're two different people. It's fine.
It's such a mood. I mean, in a way, it has to be like that with classic Hollywood because, yeah. I mean, even today, right? It's just kind of easier to find out people's personal lives now.
Yeah.
But, you know, because the way that, you know, the type of films they were in, it was kind of more conservative in some ways. If we're excluding pre-code Hollywood, but it was harder to find some dirt on these people. So then when you find out some of this stuff, you're like, people get really taken aback because they have this image of them that is so pristine because it's how the studios wanted them to be portrayed.
Oh yeah. Like there's been a few people that I've covered. I'm like, wow, I can't even give my listeners a real idea of what happened because the MGM fixers did such a damn good job.
Yeah.
Like, I will use Paul Byrne as the premium example. Like, did he kill himself or was it a murder? I don't freaking know. Like,
oh, I love
they
that.
Were there for, they were there for 3 hours before the cops came. So who knows?
Oh, I forgot about, I've read about that case and I actually would love to know more about
Dude,
it because
it's
yeah.
Dirty. It's great. It's great gossip. And but it's just like, you didn't call the cops until he went to rigor mortis.
What?
Yeah, that's insane. Mm-hmm. God.
Well, you know, they had to smoke a few cigarettes before, they had to drink a few drinks, you know.
Clean up some things, put some things away.
Put a lot of things away. Move the body.
Yeah.
Go get the paper.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So it's insane. It's insane. But I think it's interesting because, like, for me with TCM, the best part was when Robert Osborne would come out and tell you the dirt. Like, I'd rather just watch him do that than watch the movies half the time. So to me, that's kind of what I'm trying to do, is like, hey, let's do it. Let's dish.
I love that so much that you tie it to Robert Osborne and kind of like TCM, because there's a lot of, it's just like, it's my favorite thing to do is like look at people on, it's, you know, there's two different types of TCM people, or like mm-hmm. I put them into two different camps, like the people who do like TCM party and like are into memes and like are kind of like less conservative, and then the mm-hmm. people who are like, they're retired and all they do is watch TCM and complain about everything.
Yeah.
And the people who watch TCM and complain about everything complain on all their social media. It's literally my favorite thing, is to like look at all their ridiculous complaints. And
yes.
So I love people who go against that and like make those people kind of question things that they didn't think they would have to like come across or like think about. And most of them don't want to think about it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's like the counterculture, like counterculture rise up and get like, let's have everything on the table.
Kind of like you, we wanted this podcast to be like fun and not really like a lecture. Mm-hmm. And I think like, it's funny because we follow like all the typical like TCM people on mm-hmm. Twitter.
Yeah.
And I feel like they don't know what to do with us. They don't know to take us. They don't know if they should take us seriously, or they don't know if they should like want, do they want to listen to us? Cause like, do they want to listen to me like trying to get Jack Carson like to speak through a Ouija board?
That was freaking amazing. And when I listened to that, like my phone automatically like apparently listened in as well, because now on my TikTok, all I'm seeing is like ghost and Ouija board shit.
It's and Jack Carson trying to speak to you.
Right. I'm very pro Ouija board, dude. Like, let's do it.
Oh my God. Let's do it next TCM festival.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I have, you know, now that I live in Los Angeles, I can just bring it with me.
Go to the Roosevelt or something.
Yeah.
Handing out DVDs. I'll have the Ouija board though. My section will be cooler.
This is a plan now.
I know, right?
Down.
Find me at the bar. At the Hollywood doing some spirit board action with a cocktail in my hand.
That will make people leave us the fuck alone, that's for sure. It's like, we get our own table, leave us alone.
I know.
I think you guys also, like, I'm not trying to come off as a bougie bitch. I always get spotlight because I hate waiting in line. And I like drinking booze. So, like, I want to go to the party and drink as much alcohol as possible on the first night. And then I don't want to wait in line because I worked at Disneyland for 10 years. I've done that enough.
Yep.
So I don't meet as many weirdos, I guess.
There's less weirdos at TCM Film Festival. And this is kind of something I was going to bring up. I guess we're kind of, you know, moving to the next kind of segment of, we were going to talk about TCM Film Festival. But CineCon versus TCM Film Festival.
Sorry. I go ahead, but my interest.
Meredith is shook by this revelation.
I'm so shook.
CineCon, like, TCM Film Festival doesn't really have a lot of creeps. You know, they have like a wider kind of audience. And I know, Lauren, you were saying earlier that there were not a lot of young people at the beginning of TCM Film mm-hmm. Festival. CineCon has remained like no young people forever.
Oh, okay.
It's go to die pretty much. Cause it's all people on their last leg who are grumpy and I want to volunteer at CineCon, but I'm like, I hope they don't read this, like listen to this podcast. Cause I'm never going to be invited to,
is it in Burbank?
It's at the Egyptian.
Oh shit. Okay.
It's like a Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
The pros and cons are TCM Film Festival, you're paying an outrageous amount of money, which I'll get to later.
It is insane.
You're paying an outrageous amount of money, but you have more venues. You have like a more, you know, it's a community.
Mm-hmm.
And you have like guest speakers, you have like panels, you have like special events. And then depending on what pass you have benefits to that. CineCon is one pass at one price.
No,
but
I'm out already.
it's like almost $200 pass for like the whole weekend, and you get to see every single film because they have breaks implemented into the schedule. They have a lunch break, they have a dinner break. The problem is, like I said, is it's all old people and creepy men who are like, do you know what a film is?
I was there when there was somebody who asked something to you to that effect. I can't remember what it was, but I think they were just very interested that you knew about film. I saw that firsthand. Like, I was like,
I know what a film is.
Yeah.
But no, this, when we were at the dealer's room, because they also have a collector's show you can go to, like, but if you don't want to see a film or if it's like there's a break, you can go to the dealer's room, which is at the Lowe's Theater. The Lowe's Hotel. And I was walking, this guy had like this booth full of 16mm, and I was like, fuck yeah. And so like I bought like a reel and I was like carrying it around because I didn't have a bag big enough, and these like old men were just like, you know, you need a projector to run that, right? And I'm like, no, I fucking thought it was a coaster. I'm gonna go put that now. I was just like, yeah, I fucking know I need a projector. Like, I'm a projectionist and I get it, like I look weird and I'm like young, and they're like, you know, men when they see like young 20 something women, they're like, it's like Tex Avery. It's like,
yes, yes.
yes. So obnoxious. So CineCon's kind of full of that. And one thing that I don't like about, like, you know, you were talking about Robert Osborne, like coming to do introductions before films, like at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
At CineCon, it's like kind of, people will fly out to do an intro to a film, and like they have like very thoughtful introductions. But what happened was, at one introduction, and I was so pissed off, I started getting angry at the people who were being rude to the person doing the introduction. But this guy was giving this really nice introduction to this film, and people were like heckling him to the point where he was off the stage. Like, he left.
Oh my God.
Heckling him. And I told this older guy, I was like, go fucking go home and put your adult diaper on and go to fucking bed. Because if you don't want to.
Good for you.
God.
You guys went to TCM, I saw that once at one screening. Like, some poor old guy, like the child of some director, was up there speaking, and he missed a year. And this person like yelled out the correct one in the audience. I'm like, shut up. Shut up. You're so rude. Who is your mother? She should be slapped. Like, shut up.
That's terrible. I don't get that at all. I don't know.
What do you all think about like the prices and the hierarchy of passes? Because like, to me, when I would go, I didn't think about it, but then like as soon, you know, the more I went, I was like, why am I fucking paying like $700 for this? Well, I don't even get all these benefits.
It's obscene. Like, as someone who buys the top pass, I don't know how they are justifying my $1,000 jump. Mm-hmm. Because I cannot physically, like, drink that much alcohol the first night. I've tried. And, like, they're like, oh, you get to go to the wine. I don't want to go to your crappy wine club. I don't want to do that. I don't care. You don't have rosé and you don't have champagne. I'm not interested.
God, and it's a big fucking mood.
Yeah. And, like, the breakfast in the morning is great. But what really chaps my ass, and I got real vocal, I got to be like, I don't want to say Karen, but I was pissed. They had the person come in from the Academy Awards Museum one year, mm-hmm. in the morning. And he starts talking about the museum, which and then he's like, oh, well, you know, if you want to, you can buy, you guys can help support the museum. And I said, you're kidding me. You guys are going to try and get my money right now at my breakfast at 8 a.m. after I just spent $2,500 on this goddamn ticket.
Yeah.
To eat these cold eggs. I was pissed. And like, they looked at me and I was like, because I sat in the very front, I was like, yeah, dude, this is rude. It's rude. So yeah. I buy the pass so I don't have to wait in line and so I can go to the party. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't see any, like, 20% off their merchandise. They need to redo their merchandise, I think. I just don't get it. I know that basically the Spotlight people are helping pay for everything, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Bonkers if you put it that way.
Yeah.
And, like, do you guys get little tote bags?
No. I don't think we do we?
No. I don't think, doesn't it, like, I thought the tote bags were only for Essential and Spotlight. Or am I wrong?
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. Now, because you guys have a podcast, I would highly suggest you sign up to do, like, a press pass.
Yes.
Next year. Yeah. Like, they will comp your ticket. So with that, you do get a bag.
Well, okay. If we get a press pass after talking so much shit, I don't know. Like, but no, we should
They give it to people who, like, post one blog a year, like one blog.
I know they're real weird about it. Cause, like, they'll give it to people who won't write that much. And then I'm friendly ish with the lady who runs, like, Vintage LA, Allison Martino.
Yeah. And they, like, weren't going to give her one. And she's like, I have 250,000 followers.
Holy, are you serious?
Yeah. And she's like, do you want to rethink that? And I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's insane. I don't know how do you justify that? Cause I know what you're talking about. I followed her for years. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah. She's like on it. So
I have two more complaints about you.
We're airing our grievances.
Go off, sis.
like, so the thing about TCM Film Festival, and it didn't bother me at first. And, like, I guess it's maybe, like, a little bit of a petty, you know, because it's, like, the fact that we get to go to this festival and we get to meet all these people and have this experience is, like, we're lucky enough. But with CineCon, which is why I'm going to plug it more, you know, obviously we can't go this year, but maybe next year, is that TCM Film Festival basically is just to show their catalog off, but you get to watch it on a bigger screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like films you get to watch already. CineCon, you get to watch films and then you get to cry about never being able to see them again because you won't. Because in a vault or an archive, they don't see an audience for it and they're not going to transfer it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happened to me a few times. But it's just like, I guess I've kind of over the years started leaning more towards Obscura mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, I get to watch North by Northwest the fifth time, but it's on a bigger screen.
I don't know why, because, like, with TCM, people lose their damn minds about pre-code stuff because it's so rare, like, that you get to see it. If you live in LA, maybe you'll see it more. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're in, like, Meredith, where you live, like, they're not going to play Libeled Lady.
No. Ever. Oh, no. Mm-mm.
So I don't know why they don't do, like, legit half the TCM stuff that they do for the festival, just do half of it pre-code.
Yeah,
that's true. I have to check my privilege on that because in Portland, I went to a whole entire pre-code series on 35mm.
So cool.
So, like, it is, you know, for people who are from, like, you know, like Meredith or, like, other people who are from smaller towns, it is, like, that is their way to get access to these films on screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, at one point, I was like, I don't even need to go to TCM Film Festival. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Like, they did, like, Double Harness one year, and it, like, they showed it three times, and it was, like, 9 a.m. each time. And I got up to go, and I had my Spotlight pass. Still couldn't get in.
Because what?
I was like, oh, F.
Like, whoa.
It was nuts. And, like, it's okay of a movie, but it's not okay. So,
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, dude, just play all the pre-code stuff.
Oh, people yeah.
lose their minds.
Yeah, it is interesting. Sort of on a side note, like I really kind of got into this more on the second year that I went, we went, I should say, with Amelia, and I now understand, like, why people really have to, like, put thought into choosing between let's say two movies. One of them's on digital, one's on 35mm, mm-hmm. and for some reason I don't think it didn't click with me as much the first year, but I think after seeing some of the movies on film, I am one of those people as well who, like, if I can see it on 35, I'm like, yeah, probably going to veer towards that because I love watching it on film. Mm-hmm. You know, I there are a lot of positives to it with TCM that, like you said, especially as a small town person, like, it is very, very much sort of like a novelty for me as well to go in and be like, oh my God, like, this is great. But, Yeah, that's something I'm glad you brought up about CineCon, Amelia, with the how many rare films they show on actual film. There were, like, going last year, I've been just one time, just last Labor Day, and there were several movies I very much enjoyed seeing. And one of them was like, they brought Cora Sue Collins in. Wow. And it was like, who else was in it? Donald O'Connor was still like baby faced. I don't know if he was a teenager. He was like early 20s at most, super cute. And it was like the first movie I'd ever seen like Gloria Jean in. I was not familiar with her until I think it was, I'm trying to think of what it was called, Get Hep to Love or something. It was so cute. It might have been my favorite one of the whole festival, but aww, it was just one of those, I'd never heard of it before. And it was just nice seeing something like that. And I don't know. I have so many different thoughts too, going back and forth on like positive, negative. And I definitely agree with everything you guys have brought up too.
I mean, yeah, and we're not trying to bash on it. Like, we all love the old movie stuff. I'm like, well, sure, they're going to get our money. They're going to get it.
Yes.
But we can still have our opinions about it.
Well, yeah, because I would think that they would incur, I mean, I would hope they would encourage feedback. And I mean,
a survey at the end of every festival.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's okay. Right.
Oh, yeah, because I remember filling out the requests for movies that they should play in the future. I remember talking about that with one of my friends who went along, who he doesn't watch a ton of old movies. So I think he put like meme answers down, like the 1991 version of Baby Jane or something like that with the Redgrave sisters. And I was like, okay, Jeremy, go for it. Anyway, but yeah. Oh yeah. I think it's good to have some criticism as well, because mm-hmm, like that's how you grow. Like that's how we got to move forward. So
yeah,
it's
rough for that, the TCM crowd, because it has changed because Osborne's not there anymore.
Yeah.
And it is a huge gap. Like the change is from him being there to not is massive, mm-hmm, because he was so friendly. Like, did you guys ever go when he was alive?
Mm-mm. No, dude. He had just passed away right before we went, early 17. So yeah,
he was the shit. Like the first year I was there, he came up to me and I was like, oh my God, like I don't get starstruck. And I was like, just going to ask for a picture, like, you know, thank you, whatever. And he came over and gave me a huge hug because I was the youngest person there. And like, there's a picture of me and I have like the stupidest smile on my face because I'm like, I can't believe he's giving me a hug. And he was so nice. And I've met him a few times after that through the years. And he, exactly what you see on the screen, like so genuine, wants to talk to everybody. And I feel like some of the people now who are hosts really should take note.
Yeah, well, that makes all the difference with having someone like him. And like, I'm really glad that you got to meet him. I didn't realize that. And it just that just makes all the difference too. And I think, like, I mean, it's a testimony seeing how many people have talked over the years about how they've gotten into old movies, like basically because of him. Mm-hmm. And like knowing that there is power to being nice and genuine and open. And and I know, you know, with film, it's one of those things where it's, I don't know, you know, you feel like sometimes in like the arts or whatever, like we talked about before, it could get clicky or mm-hmm, kind of, you know, stuck up or pretentious or whatever. And you know, just knowing that you don't have to be like that to be a real fan.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. And that's what it should be. It should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I noticed a lot of things in 2018 because I was on the truth juice like pretty much every all my TCM memories are like, oh no, they're like adjacent TCM memories, like me drunk. But when we especially at the Egyptian, I noticed it more. But like, people are so rude to the volunteers.
Absolutely.
And it like, makes me so angry. And I'm like, these people are not getting paid to like listen to your bullshit. And they have no, like, they just show up for the day for their shift. Like, they don't know what's, it's just like, it's like yelling at a minimum wage worker. It's like,
okay. Well, we're like, seeing that now with all of the Karens coming out. That's very common.
I think TCM Film Festival is like a Karen Central. They all buzz in.
Yeah.
That's one of my pet peeves. And just in general, like people going off on anybody who's working anywhere, I'm like, mm-hmm. they're probably very underpaid and yep. they're doing what they're being told to do. Don't go to the person who's being paid minimum wage for one thing. Like, go higher up if there's an actual problem. There's just so many things. But you know, okay, speaking of I'm gonna go way off topic for like a hot second. This made me think of one of the volunteers, Amelia, I don't know if you were there with me or not, but there
I don't
was,
know where
it was. I know it was the first year. And I was I think I was going into or out of the like the sweet shop where like the TCM boutique was. Mm-hmm. So we were at the mall, and one of the volunteers, I looked at her and I saw, and all of a sudden I did a double take and I was like, I recognize her, but I don't, it's not a TCM thing. And I was like, where do I know her from? And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, I follow her on YouTube. I love this girl. And like, I was like so nervous, cause again, socially awkward. And I was like, should I say her name? Like, I'm going to see if it's her. And I yelled her name and I was like, Monica. And she looked around and I was like, oh my God, it's her. What do I say? And, anyway, so this YouTuber, she was so nice and came up to me and she was like, yeah, like she lives there. And she's like, yeah, I'm just volunteering. Like she had gone to film school or something. And she was like, so nice. Ended up taking a picture with her and she followed me back on Twitter. Ooh. And at this point, like she had like a few thousand followers, and she told me, like, I think I was the first person to ever recognize her in public. And like going back and I follow her, like I watch some of her stuff every so often. And now she has like almost 79,000 subscribers, and she has this video. I want to plug her. Her name is A Little Bit of Monica. I'll try to share her on social.
That's a great name.
I know. Oh, she's adorable. And she was like, she's a filmmaker and super adorable, very nice. And she has a couple of videos where she has this roommate who looks like Saoirse Ronan. And so it's this series and it's like, my roommate is Saoirse Ronan. And she got like a million views on it at one point. Like, it got super popular. And I was like, I don't know you that well, but I'm like super proud of you. Cause ever since that, I felt like this kinship. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry to take that way off topic, but I was like, that's the one thing I think of, like, for the volunteers at TCM.
You besides, never know who's going to. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Just like, God bless you. But yeah, I just thought of her and I was like, I have to mention her because she's a gem. But yeah, I wholeheartedly agree as well. Like, just be nice to volunteers. Like, they're sweating and they're tired and they're not being paid, like you said. And
right.
But I have to say, like, regardless of all the negative all the negative things,
yeah,
I'm gonna close out the TCM conversation with, okay, each of us says our favorite memory. Go, who wants to start?
Oh, Jesus.
I know. All your 9 years and one summarize.
Right. I'm
oh,
like, oh,
we got it easier. Let me think for a second. You go, Amelia, if I'm taking too long. It well, hold on. If you have something, if not, something. One of us is gonna go in a second.
I'll go first. It's fine.
Okay.
I'll go first. It's okay.
I don't know if I can narrow it down to one. That's my issue. I'm always like, okay, I got my top three ready for you.
I'm saying this out of comedic relief, because like, you know, I would, like I said, I was fucking sloshed through most of TCM Film Festival. I mean, I wasn't physically there, like, drunk, but I was at Bordner's a couple blocks down the street drunk. And I remember you, Meredith, you and I and James, our friend, we went to Night of the Living Dead, the midnight screening.
Yes.
And I was so drunk I could barely walk. And I didn't know what...
Dude,
like,
I think I saw you that night.
Did you? We were like, we got those, like, I still have that George Romero, like, cutout thing,
yes,
on that popsicle stick.
Like, I think I remember seeing you walking around. I was with my best friend and I was like, good for that chick.
I know, like,
we're shammered.
I was so gone. And like, I remember Simon Pegg came out to do the intro and I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Dude, I was like, excited like, too. I was like, Simon Pegg. And you're like, ew.
I was like, I've seen Hot Fuzz before. So like, but I was just like, I don't care. But I think that's one of my favorite memories because it's just so absurd. And then I had a hard time staying awake throughout the whole thing because I was ready to pass out. But adjacent from that, I did a poll on my Twitter recently And I asked, did anyone notice that I was shit-faced through most of TCM Film Festival 2018? And 56% said yes.
Okay. I said yes, which was an easy answer for me. You weren't that, but oh my god.
So that is my favorite. That was one. I'll just say
that's one a pretty good one.
We were falling asleep on it. I couldn't keep awake. I was sober, and I was like, I don't know if we were falling asleep on each other. But the other thing I'm thinking of is like you. It was so sweet because you fell asleep on my shoulder. It was between me and Peter. I think you went back and forth on our shoulders when we were watching Leave Her to Heaven in the Egyptian late at night. That one. I don't know if that was 2017 or 18. Yeah, and it was so sweet. I was just like, oh, this is like the best. Like, here we are watching Leave Her to Heaven on nitrate, like trying to stay awake, and it was a great bonding experience.
I think it was, no, that was Stage Door. A splice broke in the middle of the film.
Yeah,
and everyone looked at me as if I knew what was happening because I like I'm a projectionist. They're like, what's happening? Is this gonna blow up?
I asked you too.
Yeah, I was like, no, like a splice just broke. They just need to splice it back together. It'll be fine. I mean, they have fire trap rollers, and the first person that would die would be the projectionist. So, you know,
it's okay then, right?
R.I.P. No, yeah.
R.I.P. Ben Tucker. Shout out to Ben. He's like one of the best projectionists ever at the Egyptian. But yes, okay. I'm moving on from my memory.
Okay. I already met Robert Osborne, so it's awesome. I would say, like, shit. I got to sit. Okay. You are in love with Mickey Rooney. We all know this.
Yep. Want to have sex with him.
I know.
Bad. So
much going on for him. The second year they showed Cabaret, and I walked onto the red carpet at the same time as Liza Minnelli, but didn't realize it. And I was like, why the fuck are people screaming that loud?
Oh, no.
And then I looked to my left, and I was like, holy shit, Liza Minnelli. And then I get into the movie theater, and there's Mickey Rooney. And he sat right behind us.
Oh, my God. Liza, my queen. I just wanted to like take a second
she's insane and cannot like speak in coherent sentences, and I love it.
That's like me. That's like me when I like I'm. That's such a mood.
What if we like could hang out with her and like Margaret O'Brien? I don't know why I just thought about that, but I was like, what a group. I don't know if they get along. I would assume they probably do, but I'm like,
Margaret O'Brien is so cool because she has her nose pierced and has gauges.
Yes.
I'm like, fuck yeah, bitch.
She's an edgy queen. We stan.
Like, Liza Minnelli, she's friends with that. Oh, God. He's like Michael Feinstein.
Yeah, the musician. Uh-huh.
Here's my question. Is he taking her money? Because, she doesn't. She, like, lives with him now, and then she had that huge auction at the Paley Center. You're Liza Minnelli. Why are you selling all of your stuff? Like, she sold, like, the disco ball from Studio 54. What's going on there?
Ooh, I don't know.
It's so likely.
And now he's friends with Mitzi Gaynor, and she just had an auction as well.
Oh, what?
This
okay.
is my question. Oh, just God. Put it out there.
We need to investigate.
Yeah, we're going to get investigative here. Like, big breaking. That's wow.
Breaking news. Elder abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that you bring that up because Mickey Rooney was like abused
famously. Yeah. Uh-huh.
His fucking wife Jan is crazy. She's, and I don't know how she has a star. I mean, well, Shrek has a star, so I mean, anyway. the bar. Is
but
so
Shrek
low
is
now.
An icon. I will stand up for Shrek.
Yeah, he doesn't abuse old people.
Fuck Jan. I don't remember her last name.
Oh, it's awkward because it's like Jan or like Mickey and Jan Rooney. Isn't that what it says on the star? It's like,
yeah,
oh, it's ew. Like sharing a Facebook account, but like.
That should have been, like, the first tip-off, yeah.
I have nothing against shared. I don't know much about. But anyway.
Lauren, God. Have you seen the Mickey Rooney sizzle reel?
No.
Watch that.
So.
Send that to her. I'll send it to her.
The last thing I read about him, because I did Irving Thalberg, like, last week, after her husband died, or after he died and Norma Shearer was, like, a widow, Mickey Rooney at 17 is like, hey, want to get on this? I'm like, you're 17. What the fuck?
Wasn't it during like Marie Antoinette or something?
Yes. Didn't,
like they went to like her what do you call it? Or like dressing room. I don't know if yeah.
Oh, and he like was like, let's do it. And she had to get Mayer to like yell at him. He yelled at Mickey Rooney so loud that next door Billy Wilder was a writer for him at that time. He could hear everything.
should have been on like a list of people who should have been castrated. The end.
But then you wouldn't get to have any fun with them. That's okay.
No, it's a Norma Shearer story. Super brief.
Okay.
So the person who owned Movie Madness in Portland was, his name's Mike Clark, but he doesn't own it anymore. But he's like a family friend. My grandpa and him go, like, they went to Hollywood a bunch of times together. Just as on vacation for trips, because my grandpa's a huge movie buff. But Mike used to work for Paramount. He worked on Little House on the Prairie. He did, like, television. He was a producer.
That's cool.
He was injured in some kind of related, like, work-related thing, and he was staying at the Hollywood, like, home. I don't remember. The motion picture home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Norma Shearer was there, and she kind of wasn't. She wasn't fully there.
She had Alzheimer's, yeah.
Yeah. Mike was there, and he was walking down the hall, and she was there, and she's like, "Are you my Irving?" Like,
Oh my God.
Like, so sad. He did not even know what to say.
I would have gone with it and been like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I just turned the conversation very lighthearted.
I'll flip it right back. Irving Thalberg could get it. Like, I'm in love with him.
He's kind of cute. Sweetie.
Yeah. Oh. Like, hard worker, real smart. I'm into it. Like, when I learned about him, I'm like, oh yeah, I got a new crush. And it's a guy who's been dead for like 90 years.
Oh my God.
We all have our kinks, Lauren. It's okay.
It's okay. I'm into it. I just know when I die, all my boyfriends will be in heaven. And it'll be great.
Yes. Yes. So I'm gonna name a couple things. I'm gonna cheat, and you can cut this if you need to. But
no, I'm just
it's so hard to pick between. And I don't know, like, these are the two that came to my mind the first, like, that just popped in. I don't know if I would call it like the top, but it's close. So I'm actually going to say number one might have to be when I saw Bye Bye Birdie at, I was at like the Chinese multiplex. I remember it being a huge screen. I felt like it was bigger than the others. I don't know if it was or not, but it felt like it. And I had seen that movie like a number of times before I saw it there. And it's just one of those weird movies that I adore for so many reasons. It's beautiful, and seeing it on the big screen, it's so colorful. It was vibrant, and like Anne Margaret is like one of my girl crushes. Like I just like, she's beautiful, and so I was,
she's
like
gorgeous.
I
see, yeah,
oh, she is. And I'm just like, okay, this is great. And also, like, I got to talk to a few people in line before sitting down to that movie. And it was really cool because there were a couple of older ladies, like I'd say probably, I don't know if they were in their 60s or 70s, and they were sisters. And we were kind of swapping stories about like what, you know, kind of like our history with the movie. And these two, I think they were from the LA area, and talked about like remembering seeing Bye Bye Birdie when it first came out in 63. And somehow we also talked about how the older sister had to chaperone the younger sister to like the Beatles when they came to America in like 64. And I was like, whoa, I want to talk to you guys like for a long time. It's so cool. And so it was kind of a combination of that. And then I think I ended up sitting by them. I wasn't even going with anybody else at that point. And that was amazing. I don't know really how to put it into words besides like just great.
No, and that's the best part about going to TCM. Like, yeah, that, we'll bring it real positive. Like, yeah, that is the absolute best part, is like, holy shit, I just met the coolest person who just looked like a nana, you know, like a nobody. Yeah. And they have like the best stories.
Yes. I live for that. And I honestly, now I'm half tempted to figure out a way to ingrain that in, whether it's my blog that I'm doing now or doing a side project on just talking to people, and like whether you want to say interview or like talk and record, talk to people and write down their stories. And like, I want to put that into writing so that maybe somehow I can archive people's memories of movies they saw before they went to TCM and why it's so special to them. Harold and Maude changed my life. I saw that the first night, I think it was 2000. It was 17, because it was the first ever movie I saw at TCM. Now I remember this. So first ever movie I saw at TCM. I had never seen it before. I had been wanting to. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go watch Harold and Maude on the big screen. I brought my friend with me and we had an amazing time. And that was another one where I sat by someone who, I think her name is Sharon. I've got her on Facebook. She's really nice. She's from like Canada and super sweet. And she was talking about, you know, just like how much she loves that movie. And when they did the intro, the host told this story. I can't remember how it all came about, but this is right after Bill Paxton had passed away.
Oh yeah.
And somehow he had the story of how supposedly Bill Paxton took a date to see Harold and Maude when it first came out, and like that the date didn't like it, but he was like crazy about it. He was like, this is the best movie ever. And basically, like, I guess supposedly he dumped this girl because she didn't like the movie. He was like, if you don't like this movie, like, I can't do this. And I was like, after I saw the movie, I was like, I kind of get that. So there's just several things about that one that I just remember, like, everything from that screening. I was amazed by that movie. So
we had a request from Brian, the one, the guy I talked about who does Just the Discs podcast. He wanted us to name some of our favorite pre-code films. And I wanted us to name at least 10 and maybe just kind of talk about two briefly. Mm-hmm. I'll go first since I have my list up and I'm going to get sidetracked if I don't. So my 10 top pre-code films. These are no particular order. Three on a Match, Night Nurse, Gold Diggers of 1933, Employee's Entrance, Street Scene, Duck Soup, Safe in Hell, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the Frederick March version, Bombshell, and It's Great to Be Alive. So I'll just talk about It's Great to Be Alive because I feel like a lot of these other pre-codes kind of get some notoriety. But It's Great to Be Alive is a science fiction musical from 1933. And it's about a gigolo who is supposed to get married, but he doesn't really want to because he's like, but the ladies. And his fiance breaks up with him and he goes on this flight. He goes and he takes his private plane and flies and then gets lost and he never comes back. While he's gone, a disease, I think it's called meningitis, it kills all the men on the planet. And so all the women start taking over the world.
Meningitis? Sorry.
Seriously, that's what it's called.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was great. Okay.
So all the men die. And all the women take over the roles of, like, government. There's women mobsters.
Let's do it now.
I know, right? I'm like, where is meningitis? I would like it to.
Yeah.
And basically, he's on this island the whole time, and this woman comes and flies over the island. She's like, a man! And she flies him back, and all the countries are basically fighting for him, just for one man.
Worth it.
I know. I was like, he's annoying. But it's so cool seeing women in mobster, like, roles. And then seeing women as a woman as a president, and then all the
cats. What's that like?
I know, right? Yeah. We'll never know.
I know.
That's why it's called science fiction. So I think that I saw it at CineCon, which is another plug for how great CineCon is, because I wouldn't be able to see that film without CineCon. I hope at least that someone releases it or fucking transfers it. It's on Nitrate and it's owned by Fox, which is now owned by Disney. But Disney's fucked up. Fuck them. Yep. It'll not get released. The end.
Right. A Free Soul, Imitation of Life, Possessed, Redheaded Woman, I'm No Angel, Thin Man. I don't know that it's pre-code, but it's in the same time frame, so we're going to go with it. Dinner at Eight, Freaks, Hold Your Man, and Hollywood Party, which is a dumpster fire of a movie except for the dance scenes. Like, it's an awful movie. I'll talk about Imitation of Life. I love this version as opposed to the Douglas Sirk version, which is beautiful. Lana Turner's great, whatever. But the very first one with Claudette Colbert is so good because it has Ned Sparks.
Oh my God. I'm sorry.
He is so underrated. I freaking love Ned Sparks. He's dead now, but he should have been in way more stuff. Like, he was so stinking funny and so deadpan. Like, anything he's in, I will watch it because he's just perfect. Perfect. So, I don't know what else you want me to say. It just should be all about Ned Sparks and pancakes.
Yes. I'm so, I'm with you on that wholeheartedly. Love Ned Sparks.
Mm-hmm. We literally said, I think our last, like, one of our other podcasts, we were like, when are we going to start a Ned Sparks fan club?
I know. Because, like, you said that, and I was like, oh, yeah. You should do it now.
Funniest guy. Oh my God.
Your turn, Meredith.
Okay, so my list, I made this on Letterboxd and I numbered it, but I'm also gonna say in no particular order, going against the numbering. I don't know why I did that. So I've got for my 10, It Happened One Night, Animal Crackers, because Marx Brothers, Gold Diggers of 1933, The Thin Man, Miracle Woman, Grand Hotel, Bombshell, Redheaded Woman, Dinner at 8, and also Hold Your Man. Lauren mentioned that. I'm so glad that's on your list. So good. It is.
I love her bow outfit. I'm like, that's so many goddamn bows. Like, one of her shirts is like all bows.
Yes. Living for it. So I'm going to bring up the one that really jumped out at me is The Miracle Woman. And I don't know if you guys have watched this one or not, but
it's good.
You have, okay, you've seen it. I wasn't sure about that. So basically, it was released in 1931, directed by Frank Capra, starring Barbara Stanwyck and David Manners. And I love it because it deals so frankly with sort of the, what do you want to say, faith healers and like sort of the evangelical side of Christianity and just how like messed up that can get. Mm-hmm. And basically Stanwyck plays this character who loses her faith in God, and once she finds a way to basically extort religion and everything, she starts to become sort of this con woman, and then she basically meets this man and falls in love with him and starts to see the way back to the light, if you will. And it's just, I don't know what it is. It's one of those, I know we always love talking about like movies that are sexy or crazy or whatever, but I love, there's definitely heart in that movie, and it's Frank Capra, so like you gotta expect that. But yeah, that one, I just highly recommend if you've never seen it before, definitely please watch The Miracle Woman, because I think it's well worth it.
I have to give a shout out. Like, I feel like I give a fucking shout out to Danny every podcast. But yes. His precodehollywood.com or precode.com website is amazing. He reviews precodes and he is very funny in his descriptions of the films. Yes. And Danny is the only man who deserves rights. And because he said, and I said that on Twitter. And he said, that's because he knows how to keep his damn mouth shut.
There we go. See, that's why he gets his rights.
I know. Love him. A legend. But yeah.
Well, thank you so much for listening to us today. We have had a wonderful time. Thank you, Lauren, for joining us as well. And we hope to have you back on at some point to follow.
Anytime. Anytime.
Yes. we love you very much. And also, just to give a shout out again to your podcast, listeners, if you want to listen to Lauren's podcast, A Hollywood Party, definitely look her up. Let me go ahead and ask you, I know you're on Spotify, because I listen to you on there.
I'm on like everything, Spotify, Google, like Apple. I don't even know all the damn ones. So yeah, like. And if you go to hollywoodpartypodcast.com, it will take you to my blog, and you can find it there.
Great. Okay. And then are your, would you be able to find, like, social media on there as
Instagram,
well?
Instagram, the .com, not Twitter, because it's just my name. So, sorry.
Awesome. Okay, great. So, yeah, definitely please go look her up, and if you like her podcast, go subscribe, rate, leave a comment, And also for us as well, as always, you can find us on Twitter at the Goldwyn Girls and on Instagram as well. And please listen to us everywhere you can, Spotify, Apple, also rate and review, subscribe if you like us. With all that being said, thank you once again, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.